Well, if you have your copy of God's Word, you'd be finding your way to the book of Galatians chapter 2. The book of Galatians chapter 2 is where we're going to be and spend a little bit of time this morning, and it is summertime. I love summer. Now, I know it's not officially summer yet. June 21st is the official summer date. It's also Savannah's birthday, who just sang a moment ago. She was sure to remind me of that as I was doing a sound check earlier. It's her birthday on June 21st, but it's also the first official date of summer. But I'm here to tell you, and I believe it is true, that summer really begins on this weekend. And by this weekend, most schools are out and some are just to be out. The temperature is getting up there around 90 and the humidity is somewhere around 300. Pools are open, vacations are going, and everybody knows it's summer. I'm trying to do my best Olaf impersonation for you. Of course, there's other ways to tell that it's summer in Georgia, isn't it? When you break out in a sweat instantly that you step out of your door at 7:30 a.m., it is summer in Georgia. It's summer in the South when you learn that a seatbelt buckle makes a pretty good branding iron as well. It's summer in the South when you discover that you can get sunburned just driving through this community, just through the window. You can get a nice little tan. You know it's summer in Georgia when you realize that asphalt has a liquid state. Amen? You know it's summer in the South when potatoes cook underground and all you have to do is pull one out, put a little butter on it, put some salt and pepper on it. You know it's summer in the South when farmers are feeding their chickens crushed eggs to keep them from laying hard-boiled eggs. Amen. The cows, I love this one, you know it's summer in the South when the cows are giving evaporated milk. There's different ways to tell that it's summertime, but this is the time of year when everybody wants to get out of town, get some sun, and I don't blame you, and I plan to do it myself. They want to go to the mountains. They want to go to the lake. They want to go to the beach. You a mountain person? Raise your hand. Amen. You a lake person? You just like to go to the lake, kick your feet up. You a beach person? Ah, my kind, my people, I love you. We love to get away, to just put our feet in the sand, to hear the waves beat against the shore, to enjoy the cool ocean summer breeze. We want to put our feet in front of that beautiful lake and not do a single thing all day long. We want to forget about everything and do absolutely nothing. You know why? Because it's summer. But unfortunately, I've been a pastor long enough to realize and know that this one thing is true for many folks. They see summer not only take a time for vacation, but also from their responsibilities from the church and their time with God, their walk with the Lord as well. Their time alone with God is replaced in the time in the car. Dad, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? Some of the smiles on your faces know that you've been there too. Their worship is replaced by whatever. Their prayer time is replaced by playtime. Their tithes and offerings go to pay for gas, the hotel, and the all-you-can-eat buffet. They don't have time to witness because they're too busy water skiing, waterboarding, and dear friends, I haven't even got into summer sports yet. But the Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us that God is the one who gave the different seasons. Psalm 74, verse 17, says, Solomon says this, "It was you who set the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter." Sure, God made summer for our enjoyment, but He also, dear friends, made it for our enrichment. And that's what summer is. It's God's messenger with a sun-soaked, tree-given, flower-blooming, lake-glistening letter of love to show you and I what He has planned for the ages to come. As we head into summer, I just want to lay before us this morning a summer mindset, four foundational principles that we can carry with us through the summer months. And I pray that we all embrace this. It really is the mindset of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. And I want to give you four things this morning that are set on these things above. You see, Jesus Christ is the refreshing center of summer. He is the preeminent of all things, including vacations, picnics, softball, long walks, and cookouts. And He invites us this summer to come unto Him, all who are weary and heavy laden. And He says, I will give you rest. That is a serious summer refreshment, is it not? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is where we are. This is a phenomenal verse. This is a great verse. This is one that we ought to commit to memory and let it guide and govern our lives, especially during these summer months. Would you rise out of reverence and reading of God's Word? This one verse, the most prominent, potent passage of Scripture in our New Testament, and the Word of God says this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, through the hand of the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit speaks and says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's bow together. Father, it's in the name of Jesus. I pray over our time together this morning, may your gospel, may your good news come not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and minister to us deeply, with deep conviction, Father. Minister to us now. It is in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Allow me to be very simple and practical to give you just four little statements to help us through our summer responsibilities to Christ and His church. Let me give you the first one this morning. This summer, I want us to have the mindset of giving Jesus the first hour of every day. This summer mindset, would you commit this morning to give Jesus the first hour of every day? Now, I'm going to keep going back to Galatians 2, verse 20, so keep that open. We're going to let that drive our time together this morning. So keep it, and let's look at it once again, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Did you catch that? If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you have placed your faith in Christ, the Bible says right now, sir, right now, ma'am, Jesus Christ is alive in you. Now, if Jesus Christ is alive in you, then don't you think that He wants you to live like He lived? You shake your head. Yeah, yes, yes, yes. If He's alive in you, He wants you to live as He lived. If Jesus is living in you, then there ought to be a result in an inward relationship, that outward reality of a Christ life in our life. You say, okay. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that the pattern of Jesus' life ought to be the pattern of our life. Okay? But what does that mean? It means what was important to Jesus ought to be important to us. Okay? But what was important to Jesus, right? Well, over and over and over again, we find this pattern of Jesus' life, that He was committed to time with God, that He was committed to prayer. We see it time and time again, over and over. Jesus seeking a solitude place where He can be alone with God. It wasn't just Jesus that we looked at as well. On Wednesday night, we looked at Moses. We looked at Hannah. We looked at the great people of our faith, and each one of them spent time alone with God. But we've got some night owls in the room. Lift your hand up. You a night owl? You just love the night? How many of you love mornings? You a morning person? All right, this is going to bless you. Night owls, you're going to cringe in a moment, but this is Mark chapter 1, verse 35, all right? This was Jesus' pattern. This was his habit. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Mark, what did you say? Jesus got up early a long while before daylight. He went out and got by himself and spent time in prayer. Dear sir, dear ma'am, you want to get the most out of your summer months? Do you want to get the most refreshment out of your summer months? Take advantage of the long days. Get up early. Devote time in prayer. Study God's Word. Get into the Word. Get the Word of God into you. Talk to Jesus. Let Jesus talk to you. Spend your summer with Christ. And you know, and I know this is a tough reality for us, because if we're not careful, if we don't keep these priorities in line, if we don't give Jesus the first hour of every day, something will eat up that time. It's the vacationing, it's the traveling, it's the kids being out of school, it's sleeping in, and then we neglect our time with God. But I'm telling you, if you'll give Jesus the first hour of every day, if you get alone with God, if you spend some time with him in a quiet place, there will be no one there to bother you, just you and God. And you spend that time talking to Jesus and listening to Jesus. By the end of the summer, you will have the marks of Jesus all over you. You'll be the most refreshed person to come into this congregation because of the promise of Psalm 16, verse 11. In your presence is fullness of joy. You won't need a vacation from your vacations, amen? You'll be in the presence of the Lord where there's fullness of joy. Number two, give Jesus the first day of every week. Give him the first hour of every day, but dear friends, can we make a commitment today to give Jesus the first day of every week? Now, again, back to our verse, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh. Let me stop for just a second. The life we live in the flesh, in our bodies, doing what we want to do, when we want to do it, the way we want to do it. And I'm just going to say something right here. It's going to surprise some of you. It's going to be of a shock to you. But I'm just going to lay that out there. I want you to go on your vacation. I thought I would get a bigger amen. Not one of you. Y'all don't need vacation? I want you to go on your vacation. Go, rest, relax, rejuvenate. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting away, letting your hair down, having fun, go vacation, enjoy yourself. My family and I plan to do that very thing. When you're out of town, enjoy your vacation. But when you're in town, be in church. This is just a suggestion. Now, I'm a church guy. I love church. Every great moment in my life, I can draw right back to the local church. I am obsessed. I dedicated my children to church. I was married in a church. I was called to ministry and went through the local church. I mean, I was ordained in a local church. I love the church. This is just a suggestion now. But even when you're on vacation, go to church. Be with the family of God. Be faithful to the church when you're in town. There are some maybe in our midst. Well, let me back out of that. I know there are some in our midst because you've spoken with me, and I appreciate this so very much, and I want to tell you that you are my hero. Why are you my hero? Because you, sir, you, ma'am, have the RV packed sitting out in the parking lot right now, and you're sitting in here. Now, I know I'm completely biased because I'm the pastor, but I don't really care because I just think that is a fantastic principle, because you're going to come back on a Saturday and you're going to prepare yourself, and then you're going to be in worship with your church family. And dear friends, I think that you should be celebrated. You should be honored today. I am so thankful to God for you, because you prove your maturity and you prove your spiritual discipline by the fact that you don't want to miss worshiping with your church family. And I am thankful to God for that. You don't try to squeeze as many Sundays out of a week of a vacation like some do. You know, King David, a man after God's own heart, listen to what he said, and listen to how foreign this attitude is amongst our day. In Psalm 122, verse 1, he said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Did you catch that? He wasn't trying to do everything he could to get out of it. He wasn't trying to do everything he could to get out of it. Well, you know, we got family vacation down at the beach, and then we have a 4th of July trip, and then at the lake, and then we have our annual camping trip that takes place the third week of August. Oh yeah, we've got the family day at the in the yard at the second week of June. We're taking the dog on a doggy vacation because you know he's tired from chasing all those balls and eating up the flower bed of the neighbor. This boy's tired. And of course, we have our in-laws coming into town, and we need a break from. No, King David didn't do that. He wasn't doing everything he could to get out of it. I submit to you, he was doing everything he could to get into it. When I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." This summer, make prayer a priority. Make sure that on Sunday morning you're worshiping together with the church family. I know it's so easy to go down the road of saying, "Well, I can worship just as good on a lake by myself. I can worship with my family in a hotel room." Listen, you may be able to worship, but there's nothing that can compare to gathering together in this place for encouragement, edification, instruction, and praise. There's nothing that can compare to it. Why do you think over there in Hebrews chapter 10? I want you to go over there. Go over there at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. The writer, if you write in your Bible, I want you to note this. The writer keeps highlighting, let us. Look in verse 22. It's just to the right a little bit in your Bible. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the Word of God tells us, "Let us draw near," in verse 22, "with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure blood. Let us," verse 23, "let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Verse 25, "not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." How else do we fulfill all the one another's of the New Testament? As far as I can count, there's at least 44 one another's in the New Testament of why we gather together in this body of believers as Flat Creek Baptist Church. And let me just give you a few of why we assemble together. It's to pray for one another. It's to love one another. It's to forgive one another. It's to rebuke one another. It's to reprove one another. It's to build one another up. It's to restore one another. Dear friends, this summer, our summer mindset ought to be, give Jesus the first hour of every day. Give Jesus the first day of every week. But number three, give Jesus the first dime of every dollar. And of course, I'm talking about tithing. That's what a tithe is. It's a tenth. It's the first dime of every dollar. It's the first dollar of every $10. That's the first $10 of every $100, and so on and so on. But go back to our verse. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." Now there's a statement on giving, especially in today's economy. by faith. Dear friends, we are to live by faith, and we are to give by faith. I was thinking the other day, just not too long ago, have you ever heard that deep philosophical question? I know, Brian Austin, you've heard this question before there at Southern Seminary. If a tree falls in a forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? You ever heard that? And the answer is yes. Well, I got another question that I think needs to be asked and answered this morning. Here it is. If a church member goes on vacation, does the church and its ministries still continue to go? Yes. I mean, if you're on vacation, you're out of town, or you just decide to stay in bed and worship at Bedside Baptist or St. Mattress or watch Joel or Andy on TV, does the ministry of this church stay open and going whether we're not here? The answer is yes. How does that happen? Through the tithes and the offerings that you give to God through this church. Here's the thing. A lot of times, folks take their tithes and their offerings with them as they go on vacation, and somehow, some way, the tithes get lost and never make it back to where they belong, to God. While I'm here, let me just explain something, because it seems to be marked with some confusion at times. In Malachi chapter 3, it differentiates between two kinds of gifts that we give to the Lord. There are tithes and there are offerings. Now, I admit to you that Malachi says that both are to be brought to the storehouse, which you and I would refer to in our vernacular, the church. But here's how most Bible scholars differentiate between the two. Offerings are those gifts separate from your tithe that you can give to whoever you want to. If you want to give to Annie, praise God. We love stateside missions, and we want the gospel to increase here in the United States of America, don't you? If you feel so led to give to Lottie Moon, praise the name of Jesus. We want the gospel to go all around the world. If you want to give to the Salvation Army, I pray that you do. If you want to give to Samaritan Purse, please give to that. You can give your offering anywhere to anyone that the Lord tells you to. But the tithe is a whole nother story, as they say. The tithe belongs to the Lord through the church. Now, we give to the Lord through the church, where you receive ministry, you and your family, where you receive ministry from. The church is the vehicle in which you give to God through where you attend worship. That's why you hear me as you did this morning. The tithe is our duty, our privilege, our joy as Christ followers to give back to Him who's blessed us. This is where the tithe belongs to the Lord, through the church. This is how the ministries continue to go. In the storehouse, it was the feeder that fed all the ministries. And let me just illustrate that by saying this. Your tithe belongs, I'm going to get even more narrow on you if I haven't made you uncomfortable enough yet. Your tithe belongs to the general operating budget of the church. That's the storehouse. That's the place where all the ministries of the church receive their resources to do ministry. This summer, let our mindset be to give Jesus the first hour of every day, to give Jesus the first day of every week, to give Jesus the first dime of every dollar, and lastly this morning, to give Jesus the first love of your heart. Let's look at our verse one more time together this morning. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you know why some people don't spend as much time in prayer as they ought to? It's because they're not loving Jesus like they ought to. Do you know why some people are not attending worship? It's because they're not loving Jesus as they ought to. You know why some people don't give to the work of the Lord like they ought to? It's because they don't love Jesus the way that He loved the church. The Bible says, Galatians 2, verse 20, that I just read to you, says that Jesus loved the church, that's you and me, so much that He gave Himself for her. Now, wouldn't this be a great summer to fall in love with Jesus? Wouldn't this be a great summer to fall deeply and passionately in love with Christ? Students, wouldn't this be a great summer for you to go on a summer camp and experience God like you've never experienced Him before? I am so grateful to God. I want you to know, I am so grateful to God for some church member that paid my way because we didn't have the money to go, nor was my family church. They sacrificed and sent me as a 16-year-old boy. I sat there at a summer camp, and Dr. Dave Adams was speaking on David and Goliath, and it was like a brick that just hit my very soul and my heart. He said, I'm calling you into the ministry. And I left summer camp, and I went home with a mission on my heart to see my family know Christ, and I had a calling on my life to preach His gospel. I am so excited for what God is going to do through summer camp in your life. I want this to be the best summer that we've ever had. Isn't it exciting to think about what could happen at VBS as we come through the doors and you see all these young hearts singing and praising God, and God using you to facilitate what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in one of those young hearts, and to see a child yield themselves over to Christ, like my wife, who is 5 years old and gave her life to Christ and has followed Him all the days of her life. That could happen through your ministry here this summer. Isn't that exciting to think about? What a great time to fall in love with Jesus this summer. But can I submit to you this as well, dear friends? What a great moment this day for you to yield your life, your heart to Christ. What a great moment for you, sir. What a great moment for you, ma'am, to acknowledge that you have rebelled against a holy God. But yet, even while we're sinners, Christ died for you. Because our sin demands a penalty, and that is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You're sitting there this morning and you think, I want to know this Jesus that made me. I want to know this God that created. You're on a quest for identity. Your identity is wrapped up in the one that fashioned you and formed you and made you in your mother's womb. He is your creator, but I'm praying right now that you would surrender to Him and He would be your redeemer as you leave this place. Be a great day to start your summer off with receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So how do I do that? The Bible is so clear and simple. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Yes, sir, dear ma'am, I wonder this morning if you're feeling your heart so strangely warmed. I can help. You don't have to receive any help from me in communicating with Almighty God, but I want to help. It's not about praying perfect prayer. It's about praying to a perfect Jesus who makes intercession for us. Right now, He is the mediator between us and God. I want to do everything I can right at this very moment to aid you in understanding what is happening in your soul right now. So with that being said, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, take Him now. Surrender to Him now by praying. Just between you and God, your heart to God's heart right now. Lord Jesus, I know I've offended You by my sin, and I need Your forgiveness. I believe You died for my sins and took my place on the cross. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins, and I invite You to come into my heart and to forgive me, and to cleanse me, and to save me from all my sins. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, and for saving me. I trust You and You alone to be my Savior and my Lord. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen.